Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, 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 Georgia.
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin. Into his hands. And guess which dogs are barking first?
Now with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine, yeah, surprisingly. I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stolen.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Drew Butler. He is at Fromm Jake. Head on over to puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Getting some new Punt and Pass rope hats in, I believe, today, Jake. So
let's
go. You'll be getting one. Head on over to puntandpass.com. Check out the locker room. It's our merch page. Order yours now. So great to talk to you, my man. You were out hunting later this evening, huh? Pretty hot, though. Told you, man, about that false fall. It's hot now.
It was definitely a false fall. Hopefully, this is the last week. I think the weather said maybe tomorrow is the last, hopefully, hot day. Man, I'm ready for that fall weather, man. Let's go.
No doubt. No doubt. Ready for that fall weather. Ready for a little crisper air. So those deer come out from my man, Jake Fromm.
Yes, sir.
I'm not exactly the biggest hunter, but I know you are. So I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do right by you. I'm going to learn about hunting. Okay.
Let's do it. We can do it.
There you go. You can help me out for sure. But hey, we want to help out our listeners and get this. How hot as the Punt and Pass Podcast been at the start of season 6. If you were at our live show, we gave away 2 tickets to the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. Obviously, leading up to the Chick-fil-A kickoff game, we gave away that RecTech Ultimate Homegate / Tailgate bundle. Drew Richardson was the winner of that giveaway. And now we have 4 tickets to give away to the Kent State game. How great is that?
Dude,
4 tickets
awesome.
Who have been donated by a close friend of mine, a former Georgia alumni who also played in the NFL for a long, long time. He's not going to the game, or actually he is going to the game, but his rest of his family's not. He said, hey, I got 4 tickets given away on the podcast, so thank you very much. Here's what you have to do. Go to Punt and Pass on social media. Fill out the quick Google form. Sign up for Prize Picks. We'll get to that in a second. Fill out the Google form, and you will be entered to win 4 free tickets to the game this weekend, Georgia at Kent State. If you sign up for Prize Picks, you will be entered into the giveaway. And this episode of Punt and Pass, of course, is presented by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT P-U-N-T, punt. When you download the app, you get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. NFL football, college football, Major League Baseball, and the playoffs are right around the corner. You can do cross-sport entries. You can win 10 times your money in just a few clicks. Download the Prize Picks app. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code PUN. Prize Picks is simply the best daily fantasy game out there. Longtime supporters of the podcast. Shout out to Prize Picks. I got my Prize Picks hat on right now if you're watching on our YouTube page. Jake, lots to get to there. A little bit of housekeeping. It's time to go three and out. We'll start with first down, man. Big weekend ahead in the SEC. College game day, Florida, Tennessee. Neutral site game with Arkansas and Texas A&M. I'm pretty fired up.
Dude, it's going to be a good one. Obviously, the Florida-Tennessee game. But one that snuck up on me was the Arkansas-Texas A&M game. Had no idea that was going to be a neutral site in Dallas. That's really cool. I think so. It's going to be fun for the fans out there. Man, good weekend. Let's go.
Yeah, no doubt. Arkansas ranked number 10, taking on number 23, Texas A&M. Like Jay said, that is at AT&T Stadium, a.k.a. Jerry's World in Dallas. I believe they call it like the Southwest Showdown. I forget what the official title of it is, but remember Jerry Jones, Arkansas alumni, Texas A&M, close to Dallas, I think relatively close. A great SEC West matchup. We'll get to that one in a second, but the SEC East matchup that has taken center stage, and of course, we'll give you our game breakdown when we go inside the five, is number 20 in Knoxville to take on number 11 Tennessee. College game day will be there on site. I saw Barstools having their college football show there on site. SEC on CBS at 3:30. I mean, this is as big as it gets.
Yeah.
And it's possibly a great opportunity for Tennessee to get the monkey off their back. Jake, Florida has won 16 out of the last 17 games in this series. As a player, how on earth do you get over that hump?
Man, that's a tough hump, but every year's a new year. Yeah. It's cliche to say, but this is a rebranded, this is a new Tennessee team, different philosophy on offense. They're doing a great job. And you mentioned a stat where, you know, Florida has won 16 the last 17. Well, I got a stat for you, Drew.
Oh, I love it.
And my stat for you is Tennessee is third in the country in total offense. Just for reference. Now, us watching Georgia's offense, and Georgia's offense is sixth in the country. And we think they are firing all cylinders.
Yeah.
Tennessee is third in total offense, and Florida's defense is 77th. In the country. So I love that matchup.
Yeah, you know, that's great. You bring up Florida's defensive statistics. We're going to get to this in third down. Obviously, everybody anointed Florida as upcoming team of the year after they beat Utah, which seems like it was so long ago because they've looked a bit more pedestrian as of late. But this aligns perfectly for Tennessee to just run it up on Florida, get rid of that moniker that they can't beat the Gators. They're favored by 10.5 points. It's the largest they've been favored in the series in 25 years, Jake. My buddy Tony Morelli, longtime listener of the podcast, he's already texted me. He's a huge Tennessee fan. He's like, I'm scared Anthony Richardson's going to look like Danny Warfel. Of course, they're going to have their greatest game ever. And what I told him was this. I saw this statistic. You want a great statistic to ease the tensions of the Tennessee fan base? Tennessee is 1-0 against Florida on September 24th in series history. So I texted him. I said, they've played once in the series on September 24th.
That is all you need to know.
You're going to win. You're 1-0. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, Georgia had that against Alabama. I'm sorry to bring up a sore subject, Jake. But when you finally do get that taste of victory and get over that hump, it seems like that's something that can really catapult Tennessee into having the special 2022 season that so many fans and media, and I'm sure the internal coaching staff and players, are expecting of themselves. So what would stop them from getting over this hump? It would be a train wreck if they, for some reason, slowed down on offense, turned the ball over, weren't able to get it going, and if somehow Anthony Richardson throws his first touchdown of the season. Anthony Richardson hasn't thrown a touchdown all season, Jake.
Wow, that's awesome. Speaking of turnovers, Tennessee is tied 23rd in the country. They have a turnover margin of plus three on the year, and Florida is even on the year. I think they're kind of in the middle of the whole realm there, but they're even on the year. So Tennessee is doing a great job. Hendon Hooker like you said, I had no idea, has not thrown a touch or interception. That is awesome.
So Hendon Hooker has not thrown an interception, and Anthony Richardson has not thrown a touchdown. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It will be crazy. And what I thought about, and again, we'll give you our game prediction, is Tennessee did get slowed down to a point against Pitt. So clearly Florida's been diving into that film room going, how do we at least contain these guys to keep the game close? Because nothing about Florida's offense would tell you that if it gets into a foot race, they can keep up. That is clearly what Josh Heupel, Hendon Hooker, and that Volunteer offense will be trying to do. It's going to be loud in Neyland Stadium. That is a place where if they get behind that football team, it's dangerous to play in. I am really looking forward to tuning into this one, Jake.
Yeah, I completely agree. And then speaking on that, if Tennessee can get up big early and put Florida in a position where they have to throw the ball,
yeah, could be a long
day. I think that's going to be really tough for them. And I know that if they can get up early, Neyland Stadium is going to be rocking. It's going to be tough for them to operate, communicate. Third downs are going to be tough. Ooh, could be bad. Could be bad.
All right. Now, Tennessee has played Ball State, Pittsburgh, and Akron. Okay. Pittsburgh obviously went to overtime. Pitt was ranked 17th at the time, but Tennessee's averaging 52 points a game. They're only allowing 14. Florida averaging 25 points a game, giving up 26 points a game. So,
yeah.
I'm just saying.
I'm just curious to compare apples to oranges here. Do you think Tennessee's win over Pittsburgh is better than Florida's win over Utah?
On the road, you know, Pitt, a good team. Keaton Slovis, obviously. That's a tough comparison.
It's apples to oranges.
Yeah,
but
that's a good question. I like that question. So remains to be seen. I'll answer that after Saturday. How about that? That's my cop-out answer. So I'll answer it after Saturday. But we talked about Arkansas, Texas A&M. That's the SEC West premier matchup this weekend. A great chance for Sam Pittman, KJ Jefferson, and the Arkansas Razorbacks to take a step forward, because look, if they beat Texas A&M, Arkansas is going to be in a really good position in the SEC West. I don't think they're going to be scared of Auburn. I don't think they're going to be scared of LSU. They'll circle that Alabama game later on in the season, but this is step one to starting something really special in Fayetteville. They had that taste last year. Then of course that all started to fall apart when Georgia smacked them 37-0 in Athens. They've learned, they know what it takes now. This could be a really important game on the 2022 schedule for Arkansas.
And I think after that scare they had last week with a very slow start, I think their focus should be, in theory, much more at a higher level this week than it was last week. So if they can get out to a good start, I like them. They're going to play a physical smash mouth football. Texas A&M, I don't think they have an identity yet. They don't know what it is. They switched over quarterbacks. I think Max looked better than it's Haynes King, right?
Yeah, Haynes King. Yeah,
Haynes King. He looked better than him and operating. So they just don't have an identity yet. Maybe they can come out with one this game if they're able to win. I personally don't think so. I'm rolling with the Pitten Razor Hogs.
But yeah, man. That's your boy. Now, do you know Max Johnson pretty well? Obviously, a local kid. Brad Johnson's his dad. I don't know if he was around the program or if you guys had thrown it around a little bit, but good to see him get an opportunity and get a big win against Miami last week.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he transferred there for, was to go play and play in big football games. I've met Max a few times, met his dad, and I haven't thrown or really spent too much time with him, but great folks, great family. And
have you ever seen his dad on TikTok, Big Bad Dude, Brad?
Yeah, best. Yeah, that is pretty neat.
So Big Bad Brad, who is Coach Rick's brother-in-law, I believe, right? Brad Johnson married Coach Rick's sister, and Brad Johnson's a Super Bowl champion. Hell, he had to have been in the NFL for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
He's got a TikTok channel, which is actually a pretty good following. He does trick shots. Oh, it is
a good follow, yeah.
Great. I think Sean Chappis told me about Big Bad Brad.
Is Big Bad Brad better than Chad Powers?
Oh my God. I'm so glad you brought that up. The Eli Manning, Chad Powers, prank, I guess you could call it. Eli's doing the second.
How recent was Eli's that?
Places. Well, it had to be a couple of weeks ago because it was during walk-on tryouts for the football team. So, right, they had to have cut that relatively, you know, I think at beginning of August when class started. If you haven't seen it, I'll tweet it out. I have tweeted it out at Drew Butler. Eli Manning went undercover and tried out for Penn State's walk-on, you know, tryouts football team. And, you know, is given the most ridiculous answers. These coaches, obviously James Franklin, the head coach, knew what was going on. But some of the other coaches are watching him throw it, Jake, and they're like, man, this Chad Powers guy, he's got something. Like, got I think I see here. Something in him. That's like, hilarious.
I mean, the fact that he was able to, I mean, my jaw was just to the floor the entire time. I could not believe this was serious.
Yeah.
And that he went undercover like this. I mean,
did he run a 5.49 40? Yeah. Like a 5.59 40 or something like that? So funny, dude.
But the Mannings are ginormous human beings.
Yeah. Like,
you can't
Eli miss 6'5". Yeah.
Yeah. You can't miss a Manning. If it was somebody else, just say Johnny Manziel, for example. Okay. Not a ginormously statured guy.
Yeah.
He could go undercover and do something like that. But Eli Manning, and you miss that? Oh, that's
they're
not good.
Asking him because he that's said he was good. Homeschooled, and the coaches yeah. were asking about homeschooled. And one coach goes, did you get good grades? And he goes, no. No. Yeah. And he goes, who is your teacher? And he goes, my mom, she wasn't that smart. I mean, that is so funny. I'm like, God, it's so quick, too. It's hilarious. Did you go to the Manning Passing Academy?
Oh, yeah.
How was that? Tell me about that.
Man, they're awesome. Great experience. You know, it's a work camp type ship. But off the clock during the evenings, we'd have big get-togethers, big just tons of food, great people there. I mean, there's no telling who you'll meet there at the MPA. But the Mannings are an awesome family, great people. They are absolutely hilarious. They're quick.
So awesome.
The funniest of them all, though, is definitely Cooper.
Is that Cooper, right?
Oh, he is the best, man. He is.
So how do you get invited? If you're just a premier quarterback, you get invited? Is there a cap? Is it 40 quarterbacks? Is it 10 quarterbacks? What is that selection process like?
I believe it's the number somewhere between 20 and 40. They take just kind of the top guys there, who they think in college. And they want good guys there too, because it's about the kids. It's a lot of work going into it, and their names on it. So they want to represent it well and get a lot of work in, because there's a bunch of kids there who are looking up to these guys.
And, no question.
Yeah.
No question. So when you go as Jake Fromm, Georgia quarterback, you are working with the high schoolers and the younger kids, right? But do you get coaching from Peyton and Eli and the rest of the guys before camp starts, or how does that look?
Yeah, that's what's definitely pretty neat about it. So I can't remember exactly what time of day, but there was times of the day in between when we're coaching for us to go out for an hour, hour and a half to get coached by the Mannings. And my personal quarterback coach is there with his crew, David Morris at QB Country. And they're the best. So David Morris and Eli Manning were teammates at Ole Miss.
Okay.
David played for a year before Eli got there. Obviously, the rest is history there. Eli plays and he becomes a career backup. But he ended up training Eli when he played for the Giants and build his brand off that. But anyway, you get a lot of great coaching and you coach as well. So it is a really neat experience.
That's fascinating. You went 2 years or just one?
Two.
Okay. And then my last question, off the clock, the camaraderie in the evening, is it like all football talk? Are you guys chopping it up with friends? Or it's a lot more like lax, right? Because that's where Johnny Manziel was hung over, missed the meetings, and they sent his ass home, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some freedom there, but you're also smart, too. Now, there's not a whole lot going on down there where we have it. I believe it's at Nichols College, Nichols State or something, where we have it. So there's not a whole lot going on, and they know everybody around there knows the MPA is going on. So
you got to have
your antenna up. Okay, everybody's looking for somebody to mess up. Don't be that guy. Don't be an idiot.
No doubt. Fascinating. Sorry to get off on that tangent, but that is that's awesome stuff. Jake Fromm, two-time Manning Passing Academy alumni, giving us the ins and the outs of what goes down there at Nichols in Louisiana. Stetson was there too this past year. Pretty cool stuff. So
yeah,
I saw that. All right, let's go to second down. This is a quick one. Quarterback for UNC Chapel Hill, Drake Mays, makes a funny remark in the media. They're about to play NC State this week. and then has to come around and apologize for it. I mean, are you absolutely kidding me? So a little bit of background, doing his, I believe, Monday or Tuesday presser leading into the NC State game this weekend, which, of course, is a massive rivalry in the state. I'm just going to make sure it is this week, right? That is this week. They did not play NC State this weekend, but he was talking about NC State, and Drake Mays was like, hey, you know, I looked up to a guy like Sam House. Sam grew up in Carolina. I grew up in Carolina. If you grow up in Carolina, you are a UNC fan. Anybody who goes to NC State just goes to state because they couldn't get into Carolina. Ha ha, funny, harmless. The guy has to turn around and apologize the next day. I'm sorry for my inappropriate comment. Hey, dude, newsflash, it wasn't inappropriate. It was funny. He should have doubled down on it and been lean into it. But
yes,
somebody must have told him to say, like, apologize. Are you kidding me? He didn't do anything wrong, Jay. That's crazy.
No, man, I hate it for him. And all this outside random peer pressure to get him to apologize. I mean, come on, what are we talking about? It's a harmless joke. Everybody
says that in every rivalry.
Yeah, in every rivalry, in every state, something's to be said. I mean, you could go on and make that argument for any other place in Georgia. It's everywhere. The joke's everywhere. I wish he would have doubled down on it. But yeah,
they play NC State the Friday after Thanksgiving. This is his official Twitter apology for simply saying people who go to NC State go there because they can't get into NC. Yeah. Yes. I just messed that up. But yes, you got that. He says, quote,
we know what you mean.
I made a remark today about NC State, and I want to apologize. I was answering a question about playing in state and said something I shouldn't have. I said it as a joke, but it was inappropriate. I feel bad and need to do a better job representing our program in this university. Hey, Drake, no, you don't need to apologize. No, it was not inappropriate, and you're doing just a fine job representing your state and university. Yep. So just relax. And to all these sports information directors out there, relax. Get out of these kids' business. It was a funny joke.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say, it's just, I don't know for absolutes, but probably it was someone getting offended on someone else's behalf.
Yeah.
You know, just,
yeah, of course,
man, just come on, let's go move on. It was a joke. It was great. Double down next time and then throw for 400 and four tutties.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Let's move on to third down. Drake Mays, big fans here of you. And we're sticking up for you.
Yeah. Big fans.
He cannot be serious. That is crazy. Should not have had to apologize. All right. Speaking of talking and saying specific things, let's move on to third down.
Okay.
And we got to touch on the rat poison that is circulating the Georgia program right now. I mean, you're reading articles, Jake. You're seeing comments. You're listening to talking heads in the media who have suddenly woken up to Georgia being a very good football team. You know, knock, knock. They are the defending national champs.
Yep.
And the E words getting thrown around a little bit. That, of course, being elite. Are they better than last year? I read a couple of articles that saying this is a team that is better than the national champions of a year ago. And then Peter Burns on SEC Network gets on the TV, Jake, and he says Georgia in 2022 is possibly one of the best teams ever in the history of college football and predicts that they will not win a game by less than 10 points this entire season. I'm like, hold on, okay? Hold on 2 seconds, as I like to say. These are the same guys that after week one, when Florida beat Utah, were saying Napier's coach of the year, Richardson's a Heisman candidate, watch out for Florida, I'm off on Kentucky. We cannot buy into this as a fan base. You cannot buy into it as a player at Georgia. I'm sure Kirby is managing these expectations.
Kirby absolutely hates it. Hates it. He hates it. If he could turn every TV off for his staff and his players so they never see anything ever again, he would do so. Look, I think they're an incredible football team. I think everything is ahead of them if they just keep doing what they're doing. They stay focused. The discipline to what people don't understand is, yes, it is a physical toll to play the SEC gauntlet and go throughout it, but mentally, week in and week out, to get your mind focused to play at your highest level week in and week out, that's tougher than anything physically that you have to do. So it's tough, and it doesn't matter who you're playing. Anybody can beat you, but they have some great players. Kirby's,
and they kick ass. I mean, like that's, I mean, like, they do. That's the number
and they're playing great. Yeah.
they're dominating teams.
Yeah.
I think what they did to South Carolina, we said it on Monday's podcast, was something that nobody really saw coming. 48-0 for the entire game, and SC sneaks in a touchdown late. Stetson getting in the Heisman talk legitimately now. People are talking about Brock Bowers and how he should be a legitimate Heisman candidate. So take us inside the locker room. Like, what is Kirby saying to the team at practice? Is he breaking them down, going, y'all are trash, you guys think you're better than you actually are? Or is he simply helping them manage the expectations, probably things that he's learned from Coach Saban and his time at Alabama? Because this really is, for Georgia fans, the first time where collectively the media is like, watch out, Georgia's a freight train. They can beat anybody. Nobody's as good as them.
Yeah. For me, if I wish everybody could understand what goes on at practice, but he's got a microphone in his hand at practice, and he's definitely doubling down on himself and his coaching and who he's coaching, because he doesn't want anyone there to take their foot off the gas.
I can co-sign that. I've been to a couple practices, and I am worried that Kirby might see me out of the corner of his eye and just want to
rip you a new one.
Because yeah, he will, and everybody can hear it.
Yeah. He's relentless as a coach.
Oh,
he is especially with that microphone in his hand, which blows my mind that they let him have one. So the entire Lumpkin,
Coliseum,
Rankin, I mean, you know, 25-year-old mom and 20-year-old college girl walking down the sidewalk, just, you know, hearing someone getting ripped into.
Yeah, there will be no confusion as to what he's saying, because it is loud.
He gets
after people as a coach during practice, for sure.
Oh, yeah. The intensity is definitely dialed up. So I think for him, he is probably doubling down a little bit more on that, keeping his foot on the gas and making sure nobody else takes their foot off as well.
Yeah, and he's learned from the best, that, of course, being Nick Saban in years past, when Alabama has gotten all this kind of praise and accolades throughout the season while they are trying to just get prepared for a game like Kent State, right? And, of course, Kirby's got to manage those expectations and the narratives ahead of a lesser opponent, but then they turn around next week, and you got to hit the road and go to Missouri. So it's just interesting. I wanted to get your thoughts, team meetings, you know, post-practice. What is he saying? And as Jake says, it is a relentless, consistent message of, we need to keep doing what we do and protect what we have to make sure that we don't slip up. And it seems like Georgia and Kirby Smart have done that up to this point. So we'll continue to watch that. And then, you know, Todd Monken's name is already getting thrown around for head coaching vacancies and could be vacancies. And I've got thoughts on that too. But, you know, I just think Todd Monken's in a happy spot. Guy's done it all. Guy's seen it all. He's been a lot of places. He's getting paid a boatload of money. Yep. He could probably say, pay me a little bit more and I'll stay here. I don't think he's in any rush to go get a head coaching job. That's just my thought.
I personally, just from what I understand, coming from his NFL background and the way NIL and recruiting is now, me personally, I just don't see a guy like him wanting to just deal with it and fool with it. Yeah, so
life's pretty good in that.
Like you said, just kind of leverage the job that he could potentially go get.
Yeah.
Leverage it a little bit. Pay me a little more. I'm good. Let's just keep blowing everybody out, putting up great numbers and winning natties, you know?
Love it. Love it. Good stuff.
Easy. Easy
stuff. All right. I got a couple statistics and then we're going to get into prize picks.
Oh, okay.
Per my buddy Chris Marler over at Saturday Down South, under Kirby Smart, Georgia is 23-4 on the road. All four losses were to SEC West teams, and all four were by an average of 22 points per game. That's pretty interesting. And here's the thing. A lot of people were talking about the 2023 SEC schedules coming out this past week. Who did Georgia draw next year? Ole Miss. Who was one of those losses, but they get to play him in Athens. So that is big. Per ESPN's Cole Kubelik, Georgia is 28-2 in the SEC East over the past five seasons. And, buddy, those 28 wins are not close. They have been smoking SEC East teams. And then lastly, from my boy Rusty Manziel at 247 Sports.
Rusty.
The radio with. Georgia is 21-1 since losing to Kyle Pitts and Florida in 2020. Average score, 39-10.
Eesh. Ouch.
That's impressive, dude. They're on an absolute war path right now.
Yeah.
So it's good to say that this is a good trend. for the Bucks.
Last thing, because I thought this was very interesting. Total defense, stat-wise, three other teams have given up one. We're talking about defense here. Three other teams have given up one offensive touchdown. So Georgia's one of them. They gave up the touchdown last week.
Just one, correct.
Who are the other two teams that have only given up one defensive touchdown?
Wow. I mean, I couldn't even begin to think.
I'll give you a hint. One of them is in the SEC.
That and would be...
It is not who you think either.
Okay. No. It's not Kentucky, is it?
Mm.
No. I don't know. Tell me.
It is Ole Miss.
Really? Okay. Yes. Yeah. Shut out against Georgia Tech, obviously. And then I don't know who they play their first two games, but okay. Interesting. Good
that
for
is
the
so
Rebels.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then Iowa was the other one.
Iowa, that's a good one. Yep.
Yeah. But I just Lane Kiffin offense just surprised me.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't thinking it. Just the philosophy and the coaching that they would do week to week stuff. Just kind of blew my mind a little bit.
I love it, dude. Look, this third down has gone third and long, but I love it. Last one. Stetson Bennett has not taken a snap in the fourth quarter yet this season. And it probably is not going to happen this weekend either.
That was my next question. When does he take a snap in the fourth quarter?
I don't know. Rat poison delivered right here.
Rat poison.
By punt and pass. All right. You talked about leveraging some good statistics to, see a good outcome. Can we leverage some of Jake Fromm's picks to win some cash on Prize Picks, please? Let's get to the hashtag Bet the Fromm on a QB only entry of the week presented by Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app. Go to PrizePicks.com. Use the promo code PUNT. P-U-N-T, punt, when you sign up. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. You, of course, can leverage the hashtag BetTheFrom on it, QB only entry of the week, or dive into Major League Baseball. NFL is absolutely the best. Love getting active on some Thursday night NFL football over on PrizePicks. You can win 10x your money in just a matter of minutes. Payouts are instant. PrizePicks is the best daily fantasy sports game founded and started by one of Georgia's own, Mr. Adam Wexler. So shout out to Adam. Shout out to the PrizePicks crew.
Very nice.
On the PrizePicks app, use the promo code PUNT. All right, Jake. We were looking at the board before we started recording. We got some QBs and some high-profile matchups in the SEC. Stetson Bennett, who we just got done talking about, is playing Kent State. There are a few attractive stats that you could place an entry on. And just a note for everybody listening, because we talked about it on Monday's podcast, when Jake gives these out, depending on what the action is, they will move before Saturday. So get in now. Get into your Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT and put these entries together. Let's leverage these picks to win some cash. Jake, talk to me, brother.
I like it. Thank you for mentioning when we give the picks.
I protect you.
Put them in. Appreciate that. That's huge. First up on the board, Hendon Hooker. So you got Hendon Hooker versus Anthony Richardson, who is supposed to be the Heisman Trophy winner. So I like Tennessee in this game. We'll touch on that later. I think they're going to go up early. I think they're going to go up big early. Hendon Hooker's number is 288.5. I think he will be over.
For passing yards, correct.
For passing yards, yes, sir. And then Anthony Richardson, passing yards, 190.5. See, because I think Tennessee will get up big early, it'll put Florida in a one-dimensional offense. I think he has to be over 190.5.
Okay.
I think he gets his first passing touchdown of the year.
That's right. Anthony Richardson has not had a passing touchdown yet in 2022, even though he has already won the Heisman based on his week one performance
against Utah,
as Jake just said. Do you think, and I totally get it, Tennessee gets up big, Florida has to pass. Tennessee obviously gets back probably into some zone concepts or some prevent concepts to, you know, protect against the big play. Do you think Billy Napier, like if it's just going south on Florida's offensive side of the ball, could he take Anthony Richardson out of the game, or is there too much pressure to leave him in? That's the only thing where I'm thinking 190 doesn't happen, because I agree with you. I think Tennessee gets up early. They're going to be so fast-paced. I don't know.
I think that'll be super tough to take him out, because he's already predicted to be the second quarterback taken off the board in next year's draft. So that's going to be tough.
I know.
That's going to be very tough. So, Hendon Hooker over Anthony Richardson over 190.5. Okay, right. Next game we got who we have? We have Arkansas versus Texas A&M. KJ Jefferson, I thought this was a pretty low number, 185.5. I think this is going to be a really good game. I think this is one of those that's going to be back and forth. I think Texas A&M, even though they don't have an identity, I think they're going to have a little bit more of their mojo back.
Yeah.
Hey, we ran off with our tails between our legs versus App State, but we beat a good team in Miami at home, got a good feel back. So I like both these guys in the over. KJ Jefferson's at 185.5 passing yards. I think he can go over. The Max Johnson one at 225.5. Last week, he threw for 140 yards with one touchdown. Let's go under.
You're going to go Max under Max Johnson.
I'm going to go under.
225.5.
I'm going to go under. I think he will have more success, but I think it's going to take more time for that offense to really get clicking
yeah.
to what it needs to be competitive in the SEC West.
Absolutely. And neutral site game, of course, yeah. in Jerry World, not going to be the creature comforts of Kyle Field, Max Johnson. He has played in big games as he did a year ago at LSU, but that Arkansas defense is not anything to sniff your nose at. So as of right now, we got Hendon Hooker over 288.5 passing yards against Florida. Anthony yep. Richardson over 190.5 passing yards against Tennessee. KJ Jefferson going over the 185.5 passing yard projection against A&M. And on the flip side, Max Johnson under 225.5 passing yards. Do you want to put a fifth in there? Or are we sticking with four this week? Talk.
I'm gonna put a wild card fifth in there.
Okay.
Because I'm scared to death of Stetson this week at Kent
okay.
State.
Okay. Yeah. No reason. He might play a quarter and a half. Who knows?
Yeah. We have no idea. But Bryce Young, 265.5 versus Vanderbilt. I don't think that Bryce Young has thrown for over 260 yards yet this year.
Okay.
And Alabama's turnover margin this year on the year, three games in, is -2 on the year. That is so
that's not Alabama-like.
That is not Alabama football. They're going to turn it around at some point. I don't know when it's going to be. And so I'm just going to keep predicting it's this game. And yeah. so I think it's this one. Vanderbilt, they are definitely better, but they are not going to compete with Alabama better right now. So I'm going to go over with
okay.
Bryce Young at 265.5.
All right.
And I think it's kind of time to where Alabama starts playing like Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. Always a good opportunity to start doing that against Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Bryce Young over 265.5 passing yards against Vanderbilt rounds out the Jake Fromm hashtag bet the Fromm on it. QB only entry of the week over on Prize Picks. To recap, Hendon Hooker over, Anthony Richardson over, KJ Jefferson over, Max Johnson under, Bryce Young over their passing yard projections. Download the Prize Picks app. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code PUNT. This is the weekend. We're going to do it, man. Week four. Are you kidding me? Jake Fromm delivering up 5 pick entry winners over on Prize Picks. Hashtag layups. Bet the Fromm. Layups, the man says. I will put my entry in and I will tweet it out at Drew Butler at Punt and Pass. Thank you, Jake. Thank you for the research there. That's good stuff. I like it. All right, let's go inside the five. Let's wrap this thing up. 5 picks update. I'm 5-10 against the spread on the season.
I see that number. I like that.
Jake is 7-8 though. Mm-hmm. Look, the rookie right here on Punt and Pass pressing the old timer. Things change this weekend. All odds are from betonline.ag. Holler at me if you want to get active on BetOnline. Here's the thing. I have Kent State at Georgia on here, though, but I might switch it up. I'm going to the game with my family this weekend. As you know, Jackie's pregnant, so we're going to bring Kara. It's her first game. We'll get a little picture. It'll be great. Probably the only game we make it to all season. But do you want to pick the Georgia-Kent State game as one of our five? Or I wrote down two games. I'm throwing these wild cards at you. They're two Pac-12 games. Number 15, Oregon's taking on undefeated Washington State. And number 7, USC is taking on undefeated Oregon State. Any thoughts there? Do you want to keep it at home with Georgia?
So it's really tough because, I mean, the Kent State, UGA, I think that's a wild card too.
Yeah, 45 is the line.
45 is the line.
45-point favorite.
That is insane. Yeah. That is insane. The over-under 61.5. But see, I see Georgia, I see like the score being
Like 45 to 3.
I don't see them. So under
and Kent State covers.
Yeah.
So do you want to pick it or no?
You tell me, Coach.
You tell me. I asked you. You can't do that to me. Just pick the Georgia game. Let's stick with that. Let's throw a little 45-pointer in there and see what happens. Go ahead.
I just gave you a prediction. 45-3.
You're taking Kent State with 45 points.
Yeah, under. I mean, okay. 45 points. Oh, my goodness.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm going to go on the opposite side. Who the hell am I to bet against Georgia? We were right on them a week ago with the 24-point spread, which I thought was kind of even crazy against South Carolina. They're at home. This is a real test to see if they're controlling the rat poison that has been circulating around the program all week long. Kent State, I just don't know if they have what it takes to even put a point on the board. I like Georgia to cover. And I'll lay the 45, as crazy as that is. The defense is for real. The offense seems a bit unstoppable at the moment. Love what Todd Monken's doing. So Jake and I are on opposite sides. Jake's taking the points. He thinks under, and I believe I said under, did I force you into that? That's not official, but your take, Kent State. I'll lay the 45 with Georgia, which is just crazy to say. Number 5, Clemson at number 21, Wake Forest. This game's at noon on ABC. Clemson's a 7-point favorite. This game, of course, in Winston-Salem. The total is 56. Here's the thing. Clemson owns Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Wake Forest cannot step up. A year ago, they thought they were it. They go into Clemson. A lot of questions around Clemson. Clemson just stomped them. I think this is big brother, little brother type situation. I don't think Wake Forest is at the same level as Clemson is, especially from a defensive standpoint. I like Clemson. I like Clemson by more than a touchdown. Pretty high confidence pick for me here, which you might want to fade, but I love Clemson.
I don't know. See, could this be the game if Clemson has a couple hiccups that Cade Klubnik comes and comes out? He has a coming out party.
Could be. I mean, this could is a be? ACC game. Yeah. Gotta win it. Absolutely gotta win it. On the road too. Could DJ get shook up? I'm sure that's an interesting environment. I don't know if you've ever been to that stadium, but it's not Death Valley. Mm. Much smaller. So who knows? That's a good. Sounds like you're leaning a little Wake there, but
I'm going to lean Wake because why not? You obviously have not had much success here picking these games, and so I'm going to go opposite of whatever you think. So all right,
there you
go. That's what I'm doing. Taking Jay Wake. Give me 7 points.
Going with Wake, the home dog catching 7. Sam Hartman's back. Noon kick. Our buddies Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge and Molly McGrath will be on the call. That's at noon at ABC. Jake thinks it'll be a close one. Wake taking the 7 points. I'll lay the 7 with Clemson. I think Clemson is just bigger, badder, and better than Wake Forest. Game of the week, most people are saying. Number 20, Florida at number 11, Tennessee, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Tennessee, a 10.5-point favorite. The total is 61.5. Tennessee, the largest they've been favored in this series, Jake, in 25 years. If you look back, mid-90s, Danny Werfel, Peyton Manning, Jabbar Gaffney, studs on both sides of the ball. I think for 4 or 5 straight years, each team was ranked in the top 5 when they played each other in this game.
Wow. That's crazy. Definitely for me, the game of the week. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it'll be super exciting, but I do think Tennessee is going to win by more than 10.5 points. So
all right.
I'm going to take them. I like them. I really do. I just don't see Florida. Their offense to me, it's not like a rhythm offense. It's just a couple shots, a few big plays here and there, but it's not a smooth rhythm to me. I like Tennessee's offense and I like that matchup.
I like the matchup too. And I think Tennessee's going to come out so fast paced to start. Yeah. The benefit of them playing at home with the style of offense that they run, it'll be quiet. They can get into their positions. They can get into their formations and literally try to run Florida off the field on defense, meaning have them totally gassed, get their eyes looking in the wrong way, and then go out there and strike when the opportunity presents itself and keep it going. I think they try to prove a point here. I think this will be a very, very popular play, which worries me a little bit. That place is going to be absolutely on fire Saturday. I'll lay the 10.5 too. Scares me a little bit because it's going to be such a popular play. But I'll roll with the Vols, lay the 10.5. In the SEC West, number 10, Arkansas, taking on number 23, Texas A&M, 7 p.m. on ESPN. A&M is a 1.5-point favorite. The total here is 48.5. I feel like you and I are going to be on the same side here as well.
Yeah, that's surprising to me. I like Arkansas on this one, man. If you're going to spot me a point and a half on that too, please give it to me all day long. Love the fight in Pittman's. Go Hogs.
Yeah, I think that slow start against Missouri State a week ago tells you one thing. They were focused on Texas A&M. You know, they were looking ahead to A&M.
Absolutely, I agree.
Exactly what was happening. There's no doubt about it. This is a huge game. It goes back to what I said earlier. Arkansas learned a lot in 2021, how to manage success, how to handle all of that public praise. You and I said it. They're one of the most likable teams in the entire country. Yep. They know that this is a game for them that can take them to the next step, right? Can elevate them as a program and say, hey, we can handle the success. We know what it takes week in and week out. They're familiar with Texas A&M. I know it is a neutral site game. I would expect it to be pretty evenly split in that stadium. Arkansas, of course, a very, very popular team in that region. I like the points too. Give me the points. I think KJ Jefferson has a breakout game. You and I are on the same side here. Go Hogs.
That's what I'm saying. I like the Hogs to win, and you're going to give me a point and a half to do so?
Love it.
Really long.
Love it. It's easy, Jake Fromm says. It's easy.
Speaking of Arkansas being a likable team, takes me back to that game last year they had versus Ole Miss and that crazy ending. That was a fun game to watch. I know this is complete, side conversation, but I thought it was just an awesome game. Kind of took me back a little bit. Crazy ending. But anyway, go Hogs.
Love it. Love it. Go Hogs. All right. Wrapping things up in the Big Ten. Haven't given the Big Ten much love on this episode. Wisconsin at number 3, Ohio State. This is your ABC 7:30 PM night game. Ohio State's a 19-point favorite. The total here is 57. Interesting spot. You know, Ohio State, I think they had like 78 points last week against, I forget who, some smaller school in Ohio. And, CJ Stroud, Marvin Harrison Jr., Henderson, the running back. It's got a lot of firepower on the offensive side of the ball here, Jake. Who do you like?
Yeah, going back to my stats, the number one ranked team in total offense in the country is Ohio State. I like them in this one. Won't be stopped this week.
I like Wisconsin here. I'll take the points, plus 19. Wow. Jim Leonard, a great defensive coordinator. I think they're watching that Notre Dame tape, seeing how they can slow down the Ohio State offense. That game was in Columbus as well. One or two turnovers, keep the game in front of you. Cannot let these receivers start running wide open. Maybe make them be a little bit more balanced and not so pass happy. I'm checking the statistics right now. Rushing yards per game, 207 for Ohio State. Passing yards, 358. That tells you that they are extremely efficient on the offensive side of the ball. But Mayan Williams, Travion Henderson, you know, I think if Wisconsin can keep CJ Stroud at bay in the pass game, the game gets slowed down. The game gets shorter from a time on the clock perspective. And I think Wisconsin maybe gets one or two scores and just tries to keep it relatively close. I'll just take the 19 points. I think that's a lot. You're laying 19.
Hey, I'm going to lay it. And that, you know, there's a reason you're 5-10.
Yeah, there is. I got to switch this up. I've got to switch this up. I love it. So you and I are three games difference there. So we'll see who can make a big move coming
maybe,
up.
Maybe you have it.
Four.
So last thing before we finish up, I had to because it blew my mind. Georgia being a 45-point favorite, I had to look up what was the largest spread ever.
Oh, I mean, the largest spread that's ever been, I think, upset was when Stanford beat USC as like a 50-point underdog and they beat them outright. On a board, what is it? 60 points, 61 points? I have no idea.
It was 70 and a half.
Who?
It was Florida State in 2012 versus Savannah State.
So that was Jameis Winston, mm-hmm. I would assume. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's a big point spread. Did they cover
70 and a half? I don't know. Let's see. It's affected. With 8:56 left in the fourth, the score is 55-0. And they appear to be on their way.
55-0 is it. It was suspended by bad weather. How about that?
Oh, wow. I bet some people were highly upset.
That's great. That is great. 70 and a half point spread. Amazing. Amazing. Good stuff, Jake.
Yeah.
See that. Looking forward to seeing those Pac-12 games too. Number 15, Oregon at Washington State in Pullman. I was actually in Pullman, Washington in April of this year, out on the Palouse. Really? They love the Cougars out there. That would be a cool atmosphere to tune into when you're flipping around that Florida-Tennessee game. And then Oregon State, okay, in Corvallis. I think I told you this on Monday's podcast. Half of their stadium is under construction, and they're still playing there. Oregon State is averaging almost 46 points a game. USC, of course, averaging 50.7 points per game. USC is only a 6.5-point favorite. I think this could just be one of those tricky spots. It's a 6:30 p.m. kick. Watch out. I've got that game circled.
Going back, and we'll have to correct me next week if I'm wrong here, but when I was looking at the turnover margin, you know who's number one in the country in turnover margin? USC.
Is it really? USC. Yeah. Very opportunistic. Interesting.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
You didn't mention who's last. You forgot to
mention that. Oh, this is great. Great, great way to wrap it up. And I hate it too. My brother's there.
Yeah.
Auburn is 130 out of 131. They're last in the country because Stanford is last at 131. They have -7. Auburn's turnover differential is -8, but Stanford's only played two games, so they rank them lower than Auburn. It's just bad. And the last game versus Penn State, it was just bad. Bad football.
You know what's amazing? Them being 2-1 with a -8 turnover.
That is huge.
They should be 0-3 because that is almost impossible to do.
That is so huge in wins and losses, that correlation there. So once they start playing in the SEC, SEC West, and that gauntlet, if they don't get that fixed,
it's going to be nasty. And Brian Harsin will be fired immediately. Got to clean that up. No question about it. Well, we're going to clean up on Prize Picks this weekend, and I can't wait. Get active with the hashtag BetTheFrom on a QB only entry of the week. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. It's the leading over under fantasy game. Just download the app, pick over or under on your favorite players, and enjoy the show. You can make your picks in under 30 seconds. You can win up to 10 times your money all in just one day. And best of all, sign up now. Use that promo code PUNT. If you deposit $100, you get an extra $100. PrizePicks.com. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake. PuntandPass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Check us out on YouTube. Check out our merch page. That'll be live later on this weekend. And we will talk to you on Monday. See you.